Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a lot of news and information to get to here this morning on the show. Some very big news stories. I haven't even gotten a chance to read through all the news yet myself. I had to take a break from my normal show prep where I, try to dash through all the news possible, snag as much audio as possible, print up as much information from my stack of stuff as possible, and then turn on the microphone and roll with you here at 6:06 this morning. But had to take a break from that normal show prep because we needed to get this important story on our radio station websites. There were several other stories that I shared on our website earlier this morning on the Montana Talks website, but I was like, man, nobody did a write-up on this one, so better do it. We better get that one there because this one needs to be there. Let me tell you the big story. At a Helena, Montana, an aerial firefighter lost her life while fighting the Horse Gulch fire north of Helena. Her body recovered Wednesday, according to NBC Montana. I went and checked the InsaWeb fire information website that is managed by the federal government. U.S. Forest Service reporting that the fire size is at 600 acres. That was as of about 2 o'clock this morning. In their live 6 p.m. broadcast last night, NBC Montana reporting that the Lewis and Clark County Sheriff's Office says the pilot's body has been recovered. The crash happened near the Hauser Lake portion of the Missouri River. The plane was scooping up water for the Horse Gulch fire when it went down. Peter Christian with KGVO News told me this morning that the aircraft was an Air Tractor 802. Jessica Nelson with the Montana Television Network reports that the plane was contracting for the U.S. Forest Service, and the pilot was a 45-year-old woman. Her name has not yet been released. She was the only person aboard the plane. Nelson added that the Horse Gulch fire was reported at about 1:30 p.m. on Tuesday. It is centered about 5 miles south of York and 2 miles north of Canyon Ferry. Officials are, of course, on high alert to the fire danger this week as temperatures are expected to soar to near or above triple digits in parts of Montana. And for those of you who heard our chat with Joe Lester from the National Weather Service office yesterday morning, fortunately, even though we have these very high temperatures, which creates in itself a very high fire threat, fortunately, we don't have the wind in the forecast. So that's at least one of the good pieces of news when it comes to the forecast and it comes to the fire threat. But tragic news. An aerial firefighter lost her life while fighting the Horse Gulch fire north of Helena. Her body recovered Wednesday. And we've got that story on our Montana Talks website right now. We've also got a joint statement here. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte and Idaho Governor Greg Little issued a statement. So I'll share that with you coming up after this. All right. Several other big stories in the news. I didn't even get a chance to read the write-up on the Held v. Montana oral arguments that started just as we were live on the air wrapping up the show yesterday morning, because I wanted to get that important news on our website. But I'll check that out here throughout the hour. We've got phone lines open for you and more.
Securing America.
As American officials such as Secretary of State Antony Blinken are celebrating NATO's 75th anniversary.
This is now the longest enduring alliance in history. That in and of itself is remarkable.
They are also reiterating the U.S. commitment to NATO. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin.
Any attempt to undermine NATO only undermines American security.
But officials also admit the geopolitical landscape continues to change.
With not only new actors posing challenges, but also new means, new methods.
Military leaders say the war in Ukraine has changed NATO's approach. American General Chris Cavoli is the supreme Allied commander in Europe.
Instead of what will you make available, the question is, if we got into a large-scale fight, what would you not make available? We assume you'll make most of your military available.
Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the area for today. High temperature readings will stay in the mid-90s in Bozeman, around 102 in Billings. For tonight, clear skies. Low temperatures in the low to mid-60s. And the outlook for Friday calls for more sunshine. Back in the mid-90s in Bozeman, with high temperatures of around 100 expected in Billings. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Tom. Oh, man, John Tester spotted at the Bistro Cacao in Washington, D.C., slamming vodkas. Check out this story, x.com/.
News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM, KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, Bongino, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, several other headlines on our Montana Talks website right now. Congressman Matt Rosendale promoting firearms for congressional staff security so they can defend themselves, of course, in our very dangerous in nation's capital. Our producer Travis Lee has that story for us on our Montana Talks website. John Tester busted downing vodkas at the Bistro Cacao following his private remarks that he believes Joe Biden cannot win the election. So was he drowning in his sorrows at the Bistro Cacao? That's a big story we'll get to here later this morning. Investigators are now saying that the man killed during a confrontation with Yellowstone National Park Rangers was stopped thanks to those law enforcement officers before many more lives were lost. According to new information on the July 4th shooting at Canyon Village, the man was planning on carrying out a mass shooting in the park. So we've got that those details, thanks to Dennis Bragg, on our Montana Talks website right now as well. And then the story that I just posted, an aerial firefighter lost her life while fighting the Horse Gulch fire north of Helena. Her body recovered Wednesday. Our friend Peter Christian with KGVO News in Missoula shares this audio with us. He did an interview with Lewis and Clark County Sheriff Leo Dutton. I'm just going to play it live for you here.
I'm talking with Lewis and Clark County Sheriff Leo Dutton. And Leo, a tragedy that occurred, a plane crash there. What can you share with us, sir?
Today at 12:11 hours, our dispatch received a phone call from an individual on Lower Powder Lake. It said a plane had crashed, and it was a firefighting plane. It was called a crew boss. It looks like a spray plane that had veered off and crashed into a cliff. The bystander dove down into the water, attempted to save the pilot, but was not successful. Search and rescue responded, sheriff's office responded, highway patrol helped us, Tri-Lakes Fire responded, as the Forest Service gave us what help they could. Unfortunately, the pilot was deceased. She's a 45-year-old female pilot, works for a company out of Idaho, and we're in the process of notifying all the family who do not live in this country. So we're working on that, and it's going to take a little bit. The investigation will be conducted by the National Transportation Safety Board, and the FAA has been helping us as well. This is a tragedy. I'm a pilot myself. I know the qualifications you have to go through and the training to be able to do this, and it was a lot. So it wasn't just a haphazard that she was a pilot for this company. And this company is working very hard to talk to the family, get them to understand what happened.
Now, Sheriff, does this involve a wildfire situation, or was this just a straight plane crash?
Nope, this is a scooper aircraft. They were loading water at the time, and as it had loaded and was taking off, and I don't know what happened, but hopefully the NTSB will be able to find out the plane is still submerged. I don't know what happened, but right now at this very moment, because of the heroic efforts, this fire is just getting huge. We're doing more evacuation, but because of what she had done for us, we're giving a police escort from where we recovered her from the water into our morgue. That's happening right now.
Well, Sheriff, does the fire have a name?
Yes, it's called the Horse Gulch Fire.
Horse Gulch Fire. I've taken up enough of your time, sir. Thank you so much. God bless you. Stay safe.
Thank you, Peter. You do a great job. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Bye, Leo.
Yep. Bye.
Yeah, big thanks to Peter Christian for sharing that audio with us. I hadn't even got a chance to listen to it yet myself this morning, so I was hearing that for the first time, like I'd imagine many of you, and wow, I haven't even heard that part about how there was a bystander who saw the plane crash, dove into the water, attempting to rescue the pilot. Just absolutely remarkable. But yeah, thanks to law enforcement, search and rescue crews, and more, especially as they're still actively battling that Horse Gulch fire. And we'll try to stay on top of the latest alerts on that fire. I reached out to the public information officer that's already been assigned by the Forest Service on that fire. So hopefully if a new update comes out here later this morning, we'll have one for you as well. Or hey, maybe one of our listeners out there is on the job this morning and has breaking news type information that you want to share with us. Certainly when we have the phone lines open, we definitely want to make sure that phone lines are open to get that type of important information out here throughout the morning as well. All right, we'll get into the other big news stories of the day here. One story that I didn't get to yesterday, which I wanted to get to, this abortion initiative that Planned Parenthood activists are trying to get on the ballot for this November. Boy, they are really getting desperate to try to force that thing on the ballot. And they're trying to force the Montana Secretary of State to break the law in order to get that on the ballot. So we'll explain that and more coming up here after the Farm and Ranch Report right here on Montana Talks. Back after this.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, predictions of a flood of lawsuits after the Supreme Court's June ruling overturning the 40-year-old high court preference favoring federal bureaucrats over judges in regulatory fights may fall short. Media reporting following the Supreme Court's overturning of the 1984 Chevron decision has largely predicted a flood of environmental and other lawsuits. But farm and business groups, buoyed by the decision, see a more limited impact given Chief Justice Roberts' cautionary note that the ruling does not call into question prior cases that relied on Chevron. With more insight, here's the National Cattlemen's Beef Association's Chief Counsel, Mary Thomas Hart.
The amount of rulemakings that could be subject to litigation, if you just kind of opened it up like that, would clog the entire court system, right? We wouldn't get anything productive done for the next 10 or 15 years because there would be this constant reconsideration of every rule that's been finalized since 1984.
And she says this includes everything from Waters of the U.S. or WOTUS to pesticides to clean air rules, although some recent mileage and even tailpipe emission rules favoring electric vehicles are or may get challenged. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
That filet. Yeah, the one you just threw on the grill. It's got iron. It's got protein. Heck, that steak's even got vitamins. So I guess what we're saying is what that delicious, nutritious steak doesn't have is a reason to wait. Beef, it's what's for dinner.
This message brought to you by the Montana Beef Council and your $1 per head beef checkoff.
Does the higher cost of interest have you worried these days? Then give me, Aaron Oxart, or any one of the credit staff with Montana Livestock Ag Credit a call today. We pride ourselves on consistently providing one of the most competitive interest rates in the state, along with top-notch customer service to your kitchen table anywhere in Montana, and a quick loan turnaround process. Give Montana Livestock Ag Credit a try. Call us at 800-332-3405 or check us out at ag-credit.com, Facebook, or Instagram.
Well, unfortunately, grasshoppers and Mormon crickets are back this summer, causing considerable damage to rangelands and forage in western states. In fact, according to a new report by the American Farm Bureau Federation, the insects caused $318 million alone in crop losses to alfalfa each year. Now, between 2019 and 2023, USDA's APHIS protected over 3.33 million acres across eight western states, with 2.8 million acres treated for grasshopper control. And finally this morning, it looks like House lawmakers engaged in some heated debate over a Republican-led discussion draft proposing reforms to the Endangered Species Act, introduced by a Natural Resources Committee working group. The 38-page draft includes both new and familiar ideas aimed at updating the 1973 law. Now, Republicans argue the reforms are necessary to help address long-standing issues, while Democrats and environmental organizations criticize the bill, fearing it would weaken ESA protections. Bottom line, folks, as it stands right now, the Biden administration's stance is very clear. They oppose the current draft, believing it would only increase challenges faced by wildlife conservation efforts. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. We got phone lines open for you and more. 406-294-0970. Also, thankfully, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, David Noble is going to be with us. Always great to have David. Noble joins us every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour. The Manhattan, Montana native. He's a great lawyer here in the state, solid conservative, has his own Twitch TV podcast. So great conservative commentary, common sense commentary. We get the woke update of the week and more, but then also his legal insight is always interesting, especially as we talk about a couple of headlines here. I'm looking at a couple of headlines here from the Lee newspapers. First, this one. Groups backing election reform and abortion rights sue the Montana Secretary of State. I definitely want to get into that story. Maybe I'll save that for when David gets in here, so he can kind of help walk us through the legal angle on this. But bottom line is, if you look at this story, what you will see is they are these left wing groups are trying to push rank choice voting. And they're trying to put abortion on demand all the way through the due date. You know, crazy stuff, crazy, sickening late-term abortion nonsense that they want to get enshrined in our Montana Constitution using deceptive language. But now they want to try to force the Montana Secretary of State to break the law in order to get their deceptive measure on the ballot. And then also this one from Rob Cheney in the Missoulian, held climate case goes before the Montana Supreme Court. Like I said, I haven't even had a chance to read the article yet. I tried to watch a little bit of the live stream yesterday, but the audio, if you were listening in on the 9 o'clock hour of the show, was just way too low. So I'll try to read that update, see how that whole deal is being spun yesterday. Oh, one quick thing that I wanted to share. Peter Christian wanted me to make sure that we included this piece of information. So I shared the audio interview with Peter Christian and Lewis and Clark County Sheriff Leo Dutton. That was obviously from yesterday afternoon, as this story was just developing, as you could hear. So Peter got Sheriff Dutton on the phone right away. One quick note, an update on the aircraft. For those of you who just tuning in, an aerial firefighter lost her life while fighting this Horse Gulch fire that started on Tuesday north of Helena, and her body was recovered yesterday afternoon. But Peter Christian with KGVO News tells me that the aircraft was an Air Tractor 802. Obviously, it was outfitted to be a firefighting aircraft, so it had, you know, it had the water storage capability underneath it. But yeah, looking at least when I looked at the images of an Air Tractor 802, it is basically similar to a crop dusting plane that you would see flying over Montana, except for it's outfitted with the aerial firefighting capability. So that just one quick clarification following that audio interview that we shared with you just a few minutes ago.
News. I'm CJ Papa. President Biden delivers his first solo news conference since last November.
He's given fewer interviews and fewer press conferences than any of his immediate predecessors.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich of the White House set for 5:30 p.m. Eastern. 10 members of Congress, including the first senator, Vermont Democrat Peter Welch, want the president to leave the race, while Michigan's governor, Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer, wants the president to take a cognitive test. The inherent contempt vote in the House today would penalize U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, fining him $10,000 a day for not handing over audio tapes of President Biden's interview with Special Counsel Robert Hur in his classified documents case. The Archbishop of the Rouen Cathedral in Normandy, France, reports workers at the medieval cathedral are safe after the 495-foot spire caught fire. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines here. 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about. Oh, and I see I've got some messages here on the Montana Talks app. I'll take a look at as well. Still haven't organized my stack of stuff fully yet. Lots to get to here this morning, of course. Mike in Big Timber, great to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
What's on my mind, good morning,
morning,
is the caller yesterday, the very last part of your show, I missed it. Was that Ken from Great Falls?
So it's funny, I was at an event last night, and let's see, was it Bowen Greenwood? He's the clerk of the Supreme Court. You know, while we were in live in that 9 o'clock hour of the show yesterday, Bowen Greenwood, I joked that his Bruce Willis head was on the live stream. But anyway, somebody mentioned, they said they were listening to my show on their drive to Billings yesterday for this deal. And they said, yeah, did you hear that guy that called into Aaron's show? And he was, you know, blah, 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 climate change. And Bowen or somebody was like, oh, was it Ken in Great Falls? Yeah, that's who it was, yeah.
Well, have you noticed, Aaron, that these callers, like Ken and Cole, remember Cole, the fella from Helena? He said he was from Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know if he was joking or if he was mocking the Democrats or if he actually was a Democrat. I don't know.
I don't either. I couldn't tell either. But if he's from Missouri, that's the show me state. And boy, I'll tell you what, the Democrats have shown us what they're doing. So he ought to get on board if he's not. but what I wanted to mention is, did you notice that all these callers called at the very last? So that they have the last word, it seems.
Yeah.
You ever notice this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ken likes to do that a lot. And then he likes to pretend to be the victim. You cut me off. It's like, dude, the show was wrapping up. You had the entire hour. You had the entire hour to call in. And then you wait till the very last second. And it's like, I mean, cool. So, I snuck him on. But, you know, I didn't give him the last word.
What was the topic? Because he was adamant about something. And I couldn't tell because I was driving and I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
What was his problem?
He thinks that the climate kids that are suing the state of Montana to try to shut down ag and oil and gas and coal, everything, he thinks they're heroes, of course. And my question to him was like, Ken, if they're so concerned about carbon dioxide emissions, why are they taking their fight to Helena? Montana's not the problem. Why aren't they taking their fight to Beijing?
Okay. And you know, why don't these people understand? It's not the carbon dioxide that's the problem. It's the particulates, carbon monoxide. We need carbon dioxide. Otherwise, plants don't grow, food doesn't grow, the whole bit. These people are really out of it. I mean,
this is just the tool. They use this as a tool to shut down everything that I just recently mentioned. It has nothing to do with climate or weather or CO2. It's every tool they can use to shut down Montana jobs. That's what they...
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, one other thing that I wanted to share with you. I thought about including this fact in my web story on our Montana Talks website right now about the aerial firefighter who was killed fighting this fire near Helena, Montana. But I thought, well, you know, I don't want to make it seem like I'm doing anything to make the, you know, just this important news story look political. But I think it's a question people would have. It was one of the first questions I kind of had when I had heard that basically a aerial firefighter had died in that fighting that fire near Canyon Ferry. North of Helena, and my first question was like, oh man, I wonder, I mean, obviously, first off, it's you're just sad news to learn that one of these heroic pilots, because these aerial firefighters are just absolutely remarkable. If you've ever watched them in action, I mean, just some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're listening in Bozeman right now and you live near the Bridger Canyon, you remember those guys just died, men and women died bombing down the side of the Bridgers there. I remember getting phone calls from some of you just saying how remarkable it was to watch just the acrobatics and just the courage that's constantly demonstrated by these aerial firefighters. But it was a question I had yesterday, so I checked on it. I didn't include it in the story on our Montana Talks website because I thought, well, you know what, this is the big story. Let's just focus on the big story. But I was filling up my cup of coffee here just a few minutes ago, and Paul Mushaven, one of the breakfast flakes on Cat Country, a radio station down the hall from me here. He and Mark do a great job, great guys, spot on commentary as well. And they've been on the radio for 36 plus years. And so, but Paul had asked me, he said, do you know, did that aircraft, was it an aircraft? Was it a Bridger Aerospace aircraft? And no, it was not a Bridger Aerospace aircraft. They even have different type of planes. So even if I didn't check on that, even if I didn't know that, looking at the imagery of Air Tractor 802s, I don't believe Bridger even has Air Tractor 802s. They've got these larger Super Scoopers that they purchased out of Canada initially, and so I've seen those airplanes in person, and so can tell the difference there. But I did just reach out to the campaign of Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, because obviously he is engaged in the most high profile U.S. Senate race in the country right now, and now he did recently step down as CEO of Bridger Aerospace. So that he could focus 100% on taking back the United States Senate. But nonetheless, I wonder if he still flies, if he still jumps into the cockpit as an aerial firefighter. I know he was doing it very recently. Last summer, he was up there helping to save homes, right? So I did check with his campaign just to say, hey, do you know if this was a Bridger Aerospace, because this was right as the news was coming out, and his campaign confirmed that no, it was not a Bridger Aerospace aircraft. And then, as you heard in the earlier reports, apparently it was a crew out of Idaho, and they're working to identify family of this aerial firefighter who was killed, and her family lives out of the country, and so they're still working to identify to notify the family. And so just a tragic story, and it just reminds us of the dangers that these men and women face, and what they're doing up there above to protect all of us down here below. It's just remarkable the work that they do. I mentioned I've got a joint statement from Governor Greg Gianforte and Idaho Governor Brad Little on our Montana Talks website right now. I'll share a little bit of that with you here in just a second, but I just noticed we've got a caller on the phone lines, and we've got Navy SEAL veteran and aerial firefighter Tim Sheehy with us on the phone lines right now. Tim, first off, and I know this is something near and dear to your heart, and you've been raising money to help aerial firefighters, and just tragic news out of Helena.
Yeah, it sure is, Aaron. And actually, I'm just driving into the hangar now. and I heard you talking about it, so I figured I'd ring in, and thanks for bringing it up, because, like you said, we got a lot of brave pilots out there that put their lives on the line every single day to protect us, and this is the cost of it sometimes. I knew this pilot personally. I just ran into her in Denver Airport about 5 weeks ago, just by accident. We knew each other anyways, and we shared a cup of coffee, and great lady, great pilot, career pilot, but it's a very hazardous environment that we operate in out there. And sometimes even the best pilots, you know, it's a tough world to fly in. So I do still fly. I'm no longer CEO, as you said. I stepped down because I got to focus on saving America here with the campaign. But actually, our planes just went up there late last night to fill in the gap of after her terrible accident. They had to ground some of the aircraft. So was not a Bridger plane, but we are now there helping to make sure we get that fire under control to protect Montana.
So you are still jumping in the cockpit as an aerial firefighter when you can, even in the midst of this very important U.S. Senate race.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not flying full shifts this year. Obviously, I used to fly full-on shifts. Now I'm a reserve pilot. So basically, you know, what happens when you're fighting these fires is you have limitations on how much you can fly in a day and how much you can fly in a week. And if our pilots hit those limitations, you got to call in a reserve crew. So basically, they call me up and say, hey, we... you got a pilot who's out of crew day. Can you make your way to Alaska or Canada or Texas or wherever we are? Can you fill in a day or two to reset the crew? So that's all I'm doing this year. I'll probably get, you know, maybe 8 to 10 days of firefighting in this year. But fortunately, as you know, I got a pretty busy schedule this summer as we got to focus on the election.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, the public, you know, officials aren't you know, haven't identified, at least last I've heard, you know, the pilot. But you talk about what a small community this is. You knew her personally, just shared a cup of coffee. I think about how small of a community the military community is, but then the special operations community is even smaller. I mean, as somebody who's served with Green Berets and Navy SEALs, and it's like, man, it's like, you know, it's kind of like being from Montana. Everybody knows everybody, or you can find somebody who knows somebody. Right. And the firefighting community, the aerial firefighting community. What was that incredible movie? Was it Chances Are that was filmed near Libby back in the day?
Always.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, it was Always. That was, yeah, wrong movie reference. But Ben, it just shows the connection with these aerial firefighters and what a small community, what a family it really is.
Yeah, it is. You know, aviation is a small world, and aerial firefighting is even smaller. And as you said, you know, we've focused on raising money for those families because, you know, when an aerial firefighter is killed in the line of duty, that there's not a support network around it the way there is in the military. You know, we don't have the Wounded Warrior Network. We don't have the VA. We don't have a big system that swoops in and takes care of the family and gives them a check to help them deal with their funeral expenses and help them deal with health care expenses. So we started a foundation specifically to do that, and I'm proud to say, you know, we've helped dozens of families in the wake of injuries or tragedies like this. But, yeah, hopefully Montanans, you know, sometimes when it's a slow fire year or wintertime, we all forget about wildfire. We forget about the thousands of men and women that are out there on the front line keeping us safe during the summer. The summer's going to be a really nasty fire season. It's already starting now. This heat wave is drying out the entire West. So people just got to be careful and watch what they're doing outside because, you know, if you start a wildfire, someone else is going to have to come in and risk their life to put it out. So just be careful and keep those folks in your minds most importantly, keep them in your prayers because they're out there protecting you.
That's right. That's right. What I know I got a couple minutes here before I take a break, and you probably got to get running as well. But Tim Sheehy, just great to get this a phone call from you here this morning. And then I'm going to get to Fred in the Flathead. I know he's got experience on this front as well. But, you know, you know, obviously the family hasn't been identified yet, but we're, you know, it's been reported that her family's overseas, and so they're working to identify her family. But if you could say something to her family, and unfortunately you've been in this tragic position before, you know, losing your fellow SEALs and service members, what would you say to her family?
She passed doing a very important mission, and she was protecting others. You know, at the end of the day, she was protecting other people. She gave her life to save other people's lives, and at the end of the day, there's no greater calling than that. There's no greater calling than putting yourself in danger to protect others. And you know, her family, I know, was very supportive of her aviation dream. She was a lifelong pilot, so this was her dream. She was a great pilot, and I think as sad as it is, that they're going to know she's in a better spot. She died doing something she loves.
Can other folks contribute to your fund to help these families of fallen aerial firefighters? How can, and if so, how can they do it?
Yeah, Montana Firefighter Fund is a website, also the Wildland Firefighter Foundation. Both those organizations, help Arrow firefighters and their families in the wake of injuries and tragedies like this. So, you know, if folks remember, you know, during the war, we had lots of great nonprofits that helped us warriors as we came home. You know, the wars are over now. And now, you know, we have another group of young people out there doing the same thing, putting themselves between us and danger. So donate to protect them and help them out.
All right, Navy SEAL veteran, aerial firefighter Tim Sheehy, an honor to get your phone call this morning, and our best to the whole aerial firefighter community out there. I know a loss of one is a hurt to all, so we appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you and Carmen and your efforts to help out these families. All right, we'll take another break here. Fred in the Flathead, if you can, stand by. I definitely want to hear from you as well. I know you've got experience on this front, so stand by if you can.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You have Chicago's pro-crime mayor. What do we have, 117 people shot? 100 and some odd people shot over the four-day holiday weekend. 17 of them or 19 of them are dead. I mean, unbelievable, but Chicago's lefty mayor, Brandon Johnson, is blaming Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon, who resigned from the presidency in 1974 and died in 1994. For Chicago's crippling crime problem. Black death has been, unfortunately, been accepted in this country for a long time, he said at a press conference. We had a chance 60 years ago to get at the root causes, and people mocked President Johnson. We ended up with Richard Nixon. Nixon Foundation wasted no time calling the remark bizarre and gratuitous.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
You know, out of all the things we can do to maintain and protect our homes, you know what? Getting up on a ladder, cleaning out the gutters, that's the last thing anyone wants to do. I know, I've done it. And right now you can save up to 30% off your entire purchase when you go to leaffilter.com/Hannity. An investment in Leaf Filter is an investment engineered to protect your entire home. Now, the beauty of Leaf Filter is they take care of everything start to finish. Every installation comes with a free inspection, free estimate, and a lifetime guarantee. Now, a Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will clean out, realign, seal your gutters before installing Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters ever again with Leaf Filter. They're America's number one gutter protection system. And schedule your free inspection. Get up to 30% off your entire purchase when you go to leaffilter.com/Hannity. That's a free inspection, up to 30% off, leaffilter.com/Hannity, and do it today.
Hey. Leaffilter.com/free.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, home of the only saltwater hot tub in Montana studios.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to get a call from Fred in the Flathead here in the early morning hours. At least I'm assuming it's the Fred in the Flathead that I finally got a chance to meet in person a couple of weeks ago when we did our show live out on the town in Kalispell. Fred, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hey, good morning. Yeah, one and the same. I'll say good morning, though. It is a somber morning with the news over there out in Houser Lake. Right, probably as Tim Sheehy was talking, so he covered it. I only know what's in the news, and you know, some got alerted to it by other guys in the community that did their air attack and pointed it out. But it's the aircraft itself that Airbus. It is a prop duster type airplane. We kind of refer to them as a single engine air tanker, but the Firebus is built for fighting fire. It does have it looks like a regular seaplane, and it does scoop aircraft, and it's different than the scoopers, the CL-415s that Bridger Aerospace has, Tim Sheehy's company. But what I wanted to kind of point out was just in general how aerial firefighting certainly isn't reckless. There's a lot of systems and mitigations and all the engineering that goes into aircraft in place, but it is high hazard. And, when you think about the rate of deaths for the pilots and the air crews relative to the amount of people participating in it, it would be off the charts. And, my background is ground pounder before I got into this, aerial firefighting. But if you think about if we were killing ground pounders at the same rate, there'd be, you know, major stand down and bagpipes and parades forever. But, you know, when these contractors are killed, it's sad for them, but it's just not treated the same. And they really do provide a service, and it is a high hazard service. So
that's a good point.
Hats off.
Yeah, that's a really good point that you're making. So, yeah, these contractors fly in from out of state and loss of life. Do they get the same honorable treatment that if it was an official, you know, firefighter with an official local firefighting agency or law enforcement agency? I mean, we saw the same thing overseas where, you lose a contractor and nobody in the news even cares, right? But that contractor could be a military veteran that is now working as a contractor, risking their lives, just like, you know, the men and women still wearing camouflage uniforms. And they're doing sometimes the same job in the same environment, but their life is lost. Even though they're American, even though they're American veteran, it gets like no mention whatsoever if they didn't come home in the flag draped coffin under the official U.S. banner. And it's just like, I think that's one of the saddest things over the last 20 plus years of the war on terror was the lack of honor that was given to folks that also sacrificed in that front. Hopefully that will happen in this case. I know Sheriff Dutton talked about the law enforcement procession that they gave to this firefighter's remains as she was transported back to Helena. That's a good point.
The firefighting community, without regard to whether you work for the government or a private contractor, we definitely honor our contractors. We work alongside them. And that, a quick point to Cheney's company and some of these ads by Tester of just running the company down like it's some kind of a corrupt government lobbying agency. Well, I'm sorry, aerial firefighting is something that the customer is the government. There's not too many people that can afford it. And so, sure, you put, multi-million dollars into multi-million aircraft, you work to get contracts.
You hate to make this story political, but it is yet another reminder of how disgusting and shameful John Tester's attacks are, and the fake news media that have been running down the very company that is rushing in to defend our communities right now, right? That's Fred. That is such a great point. I'm sorry we're short on time. Got to hit the break, get the national news update in, and then we got David Noble coming up at 7 o'clock hour. Fred, thanks for the call. Thanks for your service. All right, here is the plan for Thursday's Montana Talks. No plan. Yeah, we'll probably take your phone calls. That's the best part of the show anyway. But then on Friday, we're going to have a couple of guests join us on this show, including William Perry Pendley. He's been fighting for those of us in the Rocky Mountain West since the Reagan administration. New story just came out. Here they go again. Remember when they blamed the timber industry for spotted owls? Oh, no, it's something else. We'll dive into it Friday's Montana Talks.